Greetings, everyone. At this time, open your Bible to Proverbs. Proverbs 21. Be sure to take out your outline. Proverbs 21. Many of you already know, but for those who don't understand what we're doing here, we are going through the book of Proverbs, and the first nine chapters with very conducive to do expository passage by passage. When you get to chapter 10 to the rest of the book of Proverbs, it's broken down to snippets of Proverbs, sometimes two, maybe three verses in cluster. And so what we are doing in chapter 10 through 31, I am trying to account for every single verse that are, and I counted like 726 verses from chapter 10 to end of 31, and try to give an account of every topic the book of Proverbs addresses to help it understand what is the wise course of action versus the foolish course of action, what it looks like to be a wise person and to follow the path of wisdom versus a person given to vanity and to folly and living a life of foolishness. We are now at the topic, if you notice in your outline on the top, it is the trait of the diligent versus the lazy person. It speaks a lot, so much so that I had to have a fold sheet, not just a half sheet. Don't be afraid, for those who are just visiting with us for the first time, all those verses that are in that text, I am not planning to do a thorough exposition of each one. Those verses, so you don't have to have all your fingers throughout, it's in the back, in the middle, or actually in the middle. Every one of those verses are in the back, so you can look at it quickly at the verses that I'm touching on, if you so desire. They are there for your use. But what I am trying to do is take all of these verses and give us a composite understanding of what it means on this topic of your work. Your work at home, your work at work, and work in general, because we have all been called to labor. My introduction and opening comment simply said this: God called us to a life of diligence in our calling and domestic areas of our life. Being lazy in these areas is considered folly and sin. And so we want to be aware of that. And I've asked you to turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Look at verse 25 and 26, which is the verses that I used for point number one. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hand refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous give and does not spare. Shall we pray? Father, be with us this morning. Help us as we work our way through this topic to examine our own hearts, to be transparent and honest before your word. Father, we are called and commanded to be hard working, diligent working people. When there is a need, we are to step up and do it. We shouldn't have to be browbeat. We shouldn't have to constantly be baited and encouraged. We should have the wherewithal to see the need and to have enough character and the spirit of diligence to get up and do the work. Father, we pray that we will get a vivid, crystal clear picture of the lazy one, the slothful, the sluggard, the one who deals with a slack hand, who refuses to work. And we need to see it for what it is. It is a choosing not to fear the Lord. You have called it to be hard workers, and to not to do that, it is sin and it's folly. The Lord, we ask that you bless our time as we learn and grow. In Christ's name, amen. Continuing in my introduction, when you look at the lazy person, and you're going to see it in these verses, the lazy person are extremely frustrating not only to themselves, but to others who depend and lean on them. The question that we need to ask ourselves from this study this morning is, how do we spend the time God gives to us each day? Are we diligent or are we wasteful? Are we lazy or do we work hard? Or do we push it off to tomorrow and procrastinate and later, not now? Or do we get the job done and get it taken care of done in a quality manner with using the words of Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand, put your hand to, put it, do it with all thy might? Point number one, we're going to get introduced to the lazy one here. I simply entitled them the slugger, the slothful, and the lazy one. And again, 21 verse 25, the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous give and does not spare. What we see when we look at these verses that I had up in the top of the text, it said the key word for the lazy person in Proverbs is the word sluggard. People who are idle, who deal with a slack hand. They're the slothful. And even one of the words that would use often for the word for lazy was the word to faint. And I'm going to talk and explain that in a moment. The combination of words expresses a lazy person is given to idleness. They forsake, abandon, and refrain from work. Work that need to be done. Unless it is absolutely pressing and it impacts them, they seem to not want to do the work. They are given to idleness. They waste away their precious time. They do not know the value of work that is profitable and productive. They lack initiative, drive, itch, and hustle, which is just the opposite of the diligent person. We'll talk about them in a moment. One of the things you're going to see when you look at all these verses is the fact when you go through this list and you go through the list yourself that I have put together for you, you'll see they love sleep, they love idleness, and they love wasting time. For which God will hold them accountable for. The one thing that we all have, every man, woman, and child, from the greatest to the most humble, we all have the same amount of time in the day. We got 24 hours, all the minutes and seconds, all the same. How we use those speak legion to how we handle and view the subject of work. One of the things that you'll notice about a lazy person is they love to live off the labor and work of others. While being idle and wasting their time on vain and worthless things. They, in that case, resemble a narcissist who think they are worthy of this kind of attention and support. When the Bible makes it clear that every one of us is accountable to do our fair share of the load and to work hard. Every one of us is supposed to do our best and give our best and to be diligent about it. To be given over to laziness and depend upon others to do the work. One of the tragic sayings that I've heard over the years, and there's a lot of truth to it in a lot of ways. I'm thankful that Rachel is not that bad here. But I've always heard this saying go like this. The church is full of willing people. 5% are willing to do it, 95% are willing to let them. Thankful that Rachel doesn't fit here. We're still not at 100 all doing the work together willingly. It's important that we understand that we have a responsibility to do our work at work, our work at home, our work among our neighbors, our work among strangers, our work among our fellow men, and certainly our work among the body of Christ. Proverbs 28 verse 19 says this, but he who follows frivolously will have poverty enough. The word frivolously means to pursue things that are empty, vain, and worthless. Things that at the end of the day does no spiritual good, does no earthly good. It is time wasting. And the truth is, in the day in which we live, with all of the technology we have, it's so easy when you talk about video games and TV and stuff that we can do that just purely wasted the way of time. Another trait of lazy people is the fact that they quit when the work gets tough. How do I know that? Proverbs 24, verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with laziness? Well, I didn't think anything of it until I was doing a word study. And that word study, when I looked up the word lazy and how it would, the Hebrew word that was used throughout all of Proverbs, one of the key words that would use the word faint would translate the word slothful in chapter 18, verse 9, and the word or phrase, do not let go, in chapter 4, verse 13. It came to mean that a person who becomes weak and slack or idle when it becomes difficult. It's one thing to get started, and another thing as the job gets harder or the project gets harder and more difficult, that you throw in a towel and call it quits. One of the things, the mark of a lazy, slothful sluggard, is the fact that when it does get hard, is it more than I bargained for? I'm out of here. That is a fool by the name of the sluggard. You faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The idea of that word, it means to, it was the Hebrew word that also means, there's another Hebrew word that speaks to the fact of the slothful and the lazy, with the word used four times in Proverbs, it means, which took me by surprise until I began to meditate and reflect upon it a little more, it means deceitful, false, and guile. And yet it was translated lazy. And what it is, and I bring this particular word up for two reasons. Number one, first, a lazy person gives the impression they are working, and they're not. Therefore, deceiving others. Okay? Second is, they are deceiving themselves because they think they can get away with their laziness and not suffer the consequences that comes with laziness. One of the things you're going to see over and over is laziness will lead to poverty. It will lead to wants and needs that are self-inflicted. You didn't work hard. You showed not to. You just showed to drift and waste your time instead of realizing that and not taking advantage of the opportunity in front of you. To be a wise person is to be diligent. To be a fool and to follow the path of folly is to take the path of the lazy. There are three major passages that have some chunks to it that deals and addresses the sin and folly of laziness. The first one we already dealt with in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. We've already done the exposition there, so no need to go over that one again. But the other one, turn with me to Proverbs 24, a couple chapters over from the one I asked you to do this morning. First, Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. And if you don't want it, you can have it. It's all listed in your outline in the middle of the outline. Proverbs 24, verse 30 through 34. The other one will be Proverbs 26, but we'll talk about that when we get there. These are a little bit bigger chunked, and they really give us a lot in a short space of time. Beginning in verse 30, Proverbs 24, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettle. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So what we have here, you don't really appreciate what's here, though it's talking intimately about the lazy man, but you got to understand the background is keyed off of two words in the front end of this passage. And that is the word field, and that is the word vineyard. How in the world did a lazy man have any one of those? If he's too lazy to maintain it, how in the world did he have it? So, I'll let a commentator give us some background here. It goes like this, quote, "The word field or vineyard apparently was obtained at some expense, even if by relatives from whom they were handed down. And no doubt an investment of labor and seed had been made at some point. This investment was not nurtured by consistent labor, however. This is obvious from the state of the field and the vineyard in verse 31. This revealed that the man was not only lazy, but lacking sense, which means it's like saying that the person is a fool. So somehow he most likely got this by a gift or an inheritance, and because of his laziness, he couldn't maintain it. Clearly, you see, he in verse 30 is seen as the lazy man, one void of understanding. Verse 31 says this, and there was work to be done. Anytime you have a field in a vineyard, there's work to be done. But you can obviously see it was pure, raw, unadulterated neglect. Didn't do it. Didn't care to do it. Didn't want to do it. We don't have all the excuses in here. We find that elsewhere. But the point is, he had a field in a vineyard, and here we are. So what was it that we need to learn from this, from verse 32? Look at it again, which is instructive. I saw it, I considered it well, I looked on it and received instruction. In other words, the word saw there was more than just looking at something. The word, this Hebrew word, was the word that means to look at something by studying it, gazing at it, scrutinizing something to gain some insight. Here, this scene, or I saw something, had more than just sight. It's talking about having insight to what's going on here. And he was instructed in verse, his conclusion came in verse 33, note it again. Verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to rest. So what we have here, it all started in small increments. Little sleep, little slumber, little folding of the hand, little here, little there, a little delay there, a little procrastination there. Not all over at once. He didn't all of a sudden plop and quit and decide not to do anything. It was like, oh, well, hang on, I'm going to take 5 here and then 10 here and 15 there and a half a day here or whatever, whatever, whatever. Mind you, this is his vineyard and his field, and he's not realizing he needs to be diligent. There's another place where he talked about where a wise, diligent person worked hard during labor, during harvest, while the lazy one sleeps during harvest. That both the picture you make hay while it shines, because your window of opportunity is small. Work hard while you can. So we see he was doing all this, breaking down a little here, a little there, when he should have been working and laboring. But that's not just it. Not only how he got there, the result of what happened at the end, verse 34, which reads as follows. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need, or the word need means want, like an armed man. It'll all of a sudden be gone, taken away. It'll come in a sudden like a thief, taking it away from you. Or in the other one, an armed man like a soldier coming and taking it away from you. And you're going to end up toward the end of your life in a state of poverty because you didn't equip yourself or apply yourself to work while you are able to work. The result is devastating. The time is coming for this person that laziness will bring poverty and needs, and those needs will be unfulfilled. We're not talking about want. We're talking about basic needs to survive. These people truly would become one of the words that was common among the lazy one, where they're always hungry. But yet that hunger doesn't push them to work. We have a lot of people out there panhandling. Some of them are legitimate needs, some of them are not. But how would you know unless you get to know the people? But there's a lot of people out there trying to live off of other people's labors and compassion when they can work for themselves. That's why we have to be careful who we give to. There needs to be some kind of accountability. But it all happens. Now, so let's follow this progression. Here we have, in this first part, in chapter 24, it talked about the person had a field and a vineyard, and man, it overrun and unkept, and it just went bad, overgrown and everything. He saw, he looked, he observed, he wanted some insight, and he realized it didn't come overnight. It didn't come in one or two. It was a little here and a little there, and over a lifetime, they'll come to the devastation of poverty and need. And the thing happens when we see the person at the end of their life in dire straits. Sure, we have compassion, but we have to understand they were brought into that state not by the providence of God, but by willful laziness, self-inflicted laziness. And I'll share with you what we're supposed to do later in the message. But right now, we see here that the sluggard's lack of heart and lack of desire to apply themselves is what started his problems and his troubles. Laziness is a serious issue. Every parent needs to make sure their kids know how to work hard by example, and they need to be put to work. Here the slugger will wake up and realize their situation and has gone beyond the point of no return, which, again, did not happen overnight. That was the second passage that of the three that speaks a lot to the sluggard. Let's look at the other one. A couple chapters later, chapter 26. Chapter 26, we see in verses 13 through 16. Here now we see a little bit more insight to the lazy man. Verse 13, the lazy man said, "There is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the street. And at the door turned on its hinges, so that the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buried his hand in the bowl. It wearied him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." Just like our previous one of the key things you need to understand that kind of makes this laughable is you have to understand the nature and the pattern of a lion. Here it said, the lazy man, "There's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the street. I can't work. I'm going to be in danger." What we forget and don't realize, because we don't have lion prowling around us as neighbors, like in those days where lions usually prowl at night and they sleep during the day while men are working. So really, this was a fabricated story. This was a, as I would call it, pure phantom and make-believe. He had an envision, and he believed it was reality, and therefore excusable not to work. But we bring up this story, or Solomon gives it to us, to show it that it's not just you got this guy who got some paranoia But he is a master at making excuses. This is the far-fetched, ludicrous kind. The reason why I'm saying all that is when you go later on, it talked about in verse 16, as a lazy man is wiser in his own eye than seven men who can answer sensibly. So you got seven people, proverbially, sharing, hey, you need to work. Don't worry about the lion. They sleep at night. They sleep during the day. They work. They prowl and hunt at night. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. He had convinced in his own mind, and that's all that matters. That hid truth, and he's sticking to it. So we need to understand that this fake paranoia and excuse making to not work. And he doesn't seem to ever run out of excuses to avoid working, even to the point of being ludicrous, and there's no reasoning with them. Clearly there's no reasoning with them. Lady man said there's a lion in the road, fierce lion is in the street. Often the lady, by their unwillingness to work, convince themselves that they shouldn't have to work or not able to work. But the key thing you need to see in verse 16 there is two things. They're wise in their own eyes. And no amount of good reasoning will change their perception. Here's how deep-rooted a slothful, lazy person becomes. You just can't seem to break it. And again, in light of our context, all of this is pure make-believe, but he had convinced himself. I like what John Kitchen said regarding this in verse 16. The veneer of his excuses may not persuade others, but they are not the target of his logic. He is convinced, so what else matters? In other words, I'm convinced I don't have to work because lions are coming, though it's fake, false, not going to happen. I'm convinced myself that's reality. They're not listening to anybody else because they are lazy people. Lazy people. I made my observation here. They work harder for making excuses than the actual work. The lazy person's logic is perfectly reasonable and makes sense to them. But what is one of the key things we learn? What was one of the very perfect we dealt with when we launched into chapter 10? And that was giving counsel, receiving counsel. Here, obviously, the lazy person, the sluggard, do not get advice from anybody. They are right in their own mind. They're convinced in their own head. They can't be reasoned to the truth or reasoned to wisdom to save them. So we see how tragic that is. Even earlier in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Certainly that would apply here. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says that the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. I'm bringing all those up because he's given excuses why not to work. In that case, he won't because it's too cold. And I just simply, oh, it's either too cold, too hot, too wet, too windy. Anything but laboring and working. I simply came to the conclusion they have a remarkable ability to think up excuses. And they think people are convinced. God has given us all of these examples to show us that's not true. Call your attention to verse 14 in this passage. Because I want to bring out something that I thought was very interesting. At the door turned on its hinge, so did the lazy man on his bed. And I had this perception all this time that a bed like ours, sitting on a bed, laying on a bed all day long, but That is not the word that's being used here. The word bed here is not the one as we think of today. Beds in those times were simple little mats that would be rolled up in the morning and put away in a corner. That's why in our stories when Jesus did some various miracles, when Jesus healed certain people, he told them to take up their beds and walk. In other words, their mats, roll it up, walk, go home with your bed. What this is, after the mats were rolled up and put away, they would have what had become what we would call couches. Simple, movable couches or chairs that they could recline in during the day. And so what you have, not a person that simply goes to their bed and stays in their bed all day long, but a person by their being chained, or using the language of the passage, a hinge on a chair or a couch, refused to work and get weights in the way and idleness, sitting in a comfortable reclining chair. The reason why I bring that up, because I know of lazy people who say, well, I'm not lazy because I don't stay in bed all day. I did get up and I'm up all day long. But yet these same people can sit in chairs, do nothing, and wait the way their life by the hours. This word helped us to understand that's what we have. We have a person who gets up out of the bed, rolls the mat up, puts it in the corner, but they still have other furniture that they can sit and waste away their life, which is tragic. Another thing that you need to bring out in this passage or this context, and it all goes back to that very first verse that I had a look at in Proverbs 27, where it talked about 21, I'm sorry, where it said the desire of the lazy man kills him. One of the things that has always been perplexing for people who have to deal with lazy people is the fact that how come you have people who have legitimate desire and they have want, and they want things, and they want life to be different, and yet they won't work for it. And in that passage, it said in 21 verse 25, it said the desire of the lazy man killed him. Why? For his hand refused to labor. The noticeable characteristic of the lazy person is they want and desire things just like the rest of us, but do not have them fulfilled because of their laziness. This in time produces ongoing, growing frustration in the life of the lazy one, where they try to, rather than change and start working, they guilt trip people along the way. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of a lazy person, man desires and has nothing. Proverbs 21, 25, we just said there, the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hand refused the labor. Well, enough on the lazy man. Let's talk about the diligent person. Point number two, the one who labors. In 14, 23, it says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The idea here, the diligent person realizes that hard work is profitable. Hard work is good. It is only by hard work you're going to achieve and accomplish things. Some of the words that were used for the diligent person was the fact that they do labor. They excel in their work. They have diligent hands. They plan and make use of their opportunities when they are there. We see that in Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He still stands before kings, and he will not stand before unknown men. Proverbs 27, 23. Be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herd. The word diligent was also use as a word for the idea of being decisive and determined. Lazy people do not make decisions. Diligent people make decisions, they plan, and they will follow through with their plans to get the job done. They know nothing will get done, using the passage that we just read, by idle chatter. How many times have we talked? We're not getting any work done by all this talking. We all, especially as Christians, we love fellowship. Especially on work days. Sometimes we like to fellowship and we forget that work to be done. But the point is, in this diligent person, they are decisive, they are determined, they follow through, and they do not procrastinate in their work. They see the end goal, they know the step, and they initiate every step they need to get to that goal. That is all found in these verses in Proverbs and hidden in the meaning of the word to be diligent. Another thing I learned that I was surprised, because whenever I typed up the word diligent or diligently and show me every time it's being used in the book of Proverbs, one of the ones we used in the past was Proverbs 1:28. But it was in a negative light. But it's instructive for us at this point. Remember, wisdom was crying out, and people rejected, ignored, and God said, you're going to get the fruit of your own way. And they began to feel the weight of the consequences of rejecting wisdom. And all of a sudden, they came to realize it, and they began to cry out, plead, we're sorry. And God said, no, too late. You had your chance, now you're going to get the fruit of your way. And it says this regarding them, and it is important because it's a different word that would use. Proverbs 1:28, and they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. The word diligently was a different word than some of the other words, Hebrew words that were used for, the translators gave us for the word diligent or work or labor. It is the word that had a nuance that said to be diligent early. Being diligent, and not only early, you don't wait until the last moment, but you start early and you do it earnestly. So they're saying right after these people were experiencing the consequences of rejecting wisdom, they early on cried out to God, but by then it was too late. Let's take that out and bring out that language and understanding and how we can apply it to our lives and how we can apply it to this topic. And that is to live a diligent life. It's learning to get on project early and with earnestness. Not wait until it's so pressing that you become reactive rather than planning it out and being thorough and carrying it out. That is the mark of a diligent person. Because it teaches us regarding one of the distinct marks of a diligent person that they plan and initiate their work early and to completion. Collectively, the proverb teaches that this person had diligent hands, always working during times of opportunity. We see in Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5, he who had the slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. That he's not looking for wealth, he's not living for riches, but when you work hard, there is profit in labor. Verse 5, and he who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. So you got one man, diligent, gathering during a time of harvest, so he's ready for the winter. This one said, no, I don't feel like working today. And come up with excuses, and at the end of the day, they bring shame. They bring shame. So again, collectively, they work hard. One of the verses that said that these type of people, because their ability to plan their work and initiate their plan and complete their work. They become leaders. They were seen as people who are upright and righteous, not given to sleep. They plan and prepare. They follow through, hardworking people. They even, and not only in their abundance, they love helping others. So they're a compassionate and giving people. Not only do they do their work, they excel in their work. Proverbs 22:29, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before king, and he will not stand before unknown men. Brings it to point number three, the contrast between the two now. Clearly we see in Proverbs 16:26, the person who labors for himself. We heard that principle already earlier in Proverbs. In Proverbs 9, verse 12, you are wide for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. So in other words, if you are a diligent, hardworking person, you're going to get the fruit, and you yourself will bear the joy and the fruit of it. But for the hungry mouth, drive them on. So the idea here in the verse is the lazy people will get the fruit of their laziness, which is poverty. Constant chronic need, desires that are always frustrated, always wanting to live off of somebody else's work and labor. The lazy person will go into poverty and hunger, while the diligent one will get the blessings of their labors. That's exactly what we see here. He who had the slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 19, verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. I love this contrast in Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the lazy man is like the hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. So you have this contrast between a lazy man, because he doesn't do anything, he doesn't prepare anything, he doesn't do anything, and so everything he's trying to move forward with, things are a stumbling block like a hedge of thorns. Whereas a diligent man, always diligent, always working hard, always paving the way things, and as soon as he initiated and wants to move and do something, it's like a smooth highway. He's got nothing slowing him down. That's the idea. The lazy person path and way will always be a struggle, like a hedge of thorns in the way, where he cannot move forward or certainly slow down. While the upright one, diligent, their way is like a highway. John Kitchen said this, in his uprightness he had lived diligently. When the time comes for him to make a new move and travel down the path, the way is clear and unobstructed. The contrast between the lazy and the upright here reminds us that there is something, beloved, clearly when you look at the lazy person and the diligent person, between the two, there's something unethical and unholy about laziness in so many ways, and yet we don't see it as sin and folly and foolishness. In others, even in our own selves. Here's one that the popular one, Proverbs 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligent is man's precious possession. John Kitchen again. The idea here then appeared to be that the lazy man may start his project but never finishes them. He thinks about hunting and providing food for his family but never end up on the table. He is full of good plans and good intention, but short on follow through. Even if he gets off the couch and actually begs his prize, he lacked the discipline to skin it out and cook it. Whereas the diligent man ends up with what he set out after. He is a finisher. He had the discipline to obtain what he dreamed and desires. One of the major contrasts between a lazy and a diligent person is you cannot depend and rely upon a lazy person. Where a diligent person is reliable, that's why they're called upright and righteous for a reason. Again, the sluggard is given over to idleness and willful laziness. Proverbs 10, verse 26, adds vinegar to teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. I don't know if I ever want to try, but I think brushing my teeth with vinegar would not go very well. That's the point of this verse. And we all know when we get smoke in our eyes, it burns. Whether we had fires from a difficult time in the summer with fires and drought, or near a campfire and the wind shift, and you get in your eyes and man, it starts burning. Let's make it simple. It is very irritating. So is the lazy man if you try to trust him. You give him a job and ask them to do it. Lazy people don't follow through. They're like vinegar on your teeth, smoke in your eyes. They cannot be relied upon and depended upon. So I could go on. I think it's a fight. Let me give you a New Testament, because I know somebody out there is going to say, hey, that's well and done, good, Pastor. I appreciate it. But that's all in the Old Testament. Common sense tells you they're true to this. Wisdom is universal. But for those who want a New Testament reference, I'll give you one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. Listen carefully. For even when we are with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Okay, before I read the next verse, that is a command that is, nothing motivates people to work more than hunger. But yet so often people have short-circuited God's purpose and design to get lazy people to work by feeling sorry for them and giving them and caving into them when they need to work. That's why I live in this church. I have people constantly knocking, wanting handouts. I said, I got work to do here if you need some work, and I'll take care of you afterwards. Don't get very many takers after that. Especially after I explained what the work is, there were times where they were very hard. Thank you. I'll go check with somebody else. If you're not willing to work, go hungry. That's simple. That sounds harsh, uncompassionate, but God's more concerned about the character changing than you feeding their belly for a moment and letting them and enabling them to stay in that state. Very important to understand. Let me read the passage again. For even when we were with you, Paul was talking about when we were with you in Thessalonica, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. So it's not just lazy, they walk disorderly. Not working at all, but are busybodies. Always talking, always busy, always distracting and wasting other people's time. Now those who are such, we command and exhort you through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. So compassion is important, yes. But at the end of the day, we need to realize that if they don't work, they don't eat. They are commanded to work and eat their own bread that they have been able to get by their own labors. Let me say in closing, because I know a lot of this has to do with, you know, life getting ahead. Spiritually speaking, we need to be very careful, because sometimes we are very busy for ourselves and very lazy toward God and our souls. We need to be extremely careful that we take up the principle of diligence, because we love the idea of not being poor and not being without things and this and that and the other. But we need to have that same diligence in the pursuit of our spiritual walk with the Lord. That's why he says in Hebrews 6, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't be sluggish. Be diligent. Be diligent by faith to hang on to these promises and to live those promises out in our Christian life and live and for the honor and glory of our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the people's patience and so much information here for us to learn and to grow and to heed and respond to. But Lord, let it be clear that you are clear, that you value diligence. You command us in the fear of the Lord to be hardworking people, to be diligent about the business that we are set out to in our homes, in our work. Lord, there's always work to do. May we be diligent people, always keeping our body in the subjection to be. May we have a servant's heart, a desire to be a blessing to those in need. And when they ask, why do you do this? I do it because my Lord asked me to. And so, Lord, help us to be a blessing for your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.